welcome back. We're going to talk about some of the follow-up questions that can come up throughout your core question series here. Not just in your walk me through your resume, but even when you're talking about your future goals or your reasons for an MBA. Sometimes interviewers will ask you why you chose your undergraduate major. Or they might ask you about some significant academic experience, or even something basic, very behavioral, like what was your favorite class in college? Many schools actually, like Stanford, Harvard also, MIT, they like to ask you things about, tell me about a decision that you made in your career that you wish you could do differently. Or, why did you make this a specific decision here in this project? What challenges do you think you'll have as you progress in this career and your future goals? I remember a student told me once, a Harvard interviewer asked him, what was his dream job? That's a different one, yeah. What is your dream job? And you have to know how to answer these questions. I mean, and it's tough because think about it, what is your dream job? If you say that nothing that I'm doing is my dream job, then, that raises a red flag. It's like, why would you even think about an MBA then if this is not even your dream? And then, later on you say, the reason why I want an MBA is because it's always been my dream to do an MBA. Uh-huh. You see the trouble you can get into even for simple questions like these, They might extend it into what would be your dream job if money was no issue. You should be honest here, but it's you have to be careful with this. I'm not saying don't be careful with your honesty. Just be careful where you tread, because here's the thing, you want to be able to say, actually, I am living my dream job. If money was not an issue, if it was not, you don't want to say, I'd just be laying around. My dream job would be sitting down and just drinking my mojito at the beach. My dream job would be watching the waves as they roll onto the sands. No, a dream job, if you had no considerations for money at all, would be your community work. Just helped you answer that question. It's your community work. It's what you're doing. You want to make an impact on society. You want to help change the world, whether it be in a professional setting or in a community services setting. If you don't have to work at all in the rest of your life, then you should be doing community work. That's it. And in order to be effective also in the community work, yeah, it's important to have an MBA. You want to know how people in South Africa handle their poverty issues. How did people in Germany, get over the weather conditions for specific industrial companies? These are things that you want to question and answer. Sure, fine, okay. Who doesn't? If I didn't have to worry about money, what would I be doing? I would genuinely say I'd be offering this video for free. I'd be doing what I'm doing. I love what I do. I don't want to stop. Of course, who doesn't enjoy drinking a mojito at the beach? But that's not life. Those moments of enjoyment are enjoyable because you have times of struggle and challenges. Come on, don't be useless. I do have two or three friends who retired at a very young age. One of them is actually my age. And if you're watching this, I hate you. But if you're not watching this, he's a good friend of mine. He's already retired. But there's only so much that you can do. Relax. There's only so much relaxing and chilling out you can do. Your mind cannot go stagnant, especially for you who's interested in this. If you went through the entire application process of an MBA, if you've gotten to this point for an interview session or an interview coaching session, or you bought this interview coaching video, this video course, or you're set on doing an MBA, even if you had all the money in the world and you didn't have to do this, I guarantee you wouldn't be relaxing and chilling at the beach for the rest of your life. That's not the type of people you are. That's not. You know, We always have to have our minds going. We have to be working. We have to be doing something. So what would be your dream job? Answer would, should never be just to chillax, Netflix and chill. Okay? That's not the dream job. So use your community work in that one. Other follow-up questions from interviewers have shown up as like, you know, why did you choose the career progression that you had? Why did you choose the companies that you chose? Know that too. Know why you chose a specific company. What do you do today at your work? Describe your common day. That's a tough one too. Well, I wake up in the morning, brush my teeth. I get dressed. I get in my car. I get 2 hours of traffic. I get to work. That's not how you answer that either. Remember, time is of essence here. You have 45 minutes. You want to present. You always need to be showing, giving new information about who you are or what your motivations are in every answer you give. So if they ask you something like, describe to me a picture of a regular workday. Well, regular workday is actually pretty hectic. You know, I get to the office and there's a ton of things that I need to be doing, but also a ton of things that need to be done immediately. So at first, it's all about the very first task of my day is to prioritize what I need to be doing, what needs to be handled first. The next moment after that, the next step for me is to really make sure that my team and the other departments are on point and on the same page. So I make sure that everyone is updated on the progress of a project that we're working on. Once that's done, then I have to make sure that I answer back to my supervisor. They need to know that we are on page, we're ready to take the next step of the, you know, we're ready to take on the next phase of the project, or give them an update too. So I sit down, I speak with supervisors, and I make sure that they have any, I make sure to clear up any of their doubts. And once that's done, you know, it's usually lunchtime. However, since everyone's out for lunch, this is the time I like to kind of sit down and go through some emails that I need to answer back or handle some of the less prior, you know, lower priority tasks. Get those out of the way when the office is nice and quiet. I do get some, you know, quiet time in there. I'll have a quick lunch while I'm listening to a podcast on renewable energy. Okay, and once people start rolling back in from their lunches, then you know, that's when I have to go on. That's kind of how you want to show your day, because it's showing how active you are. Okay, and if you do listen to a podcast for renewable energy, be ready to talk about that. They're gonna be like, "Oh, really? Tell me about this podcast. What's it about? What's some of the current trends in renewable energy?" Don't make it up. You'll get caught. Good interviewers can know when you're making something up, when you're BSing them. Okay, don't make it up. Be sure you know everything of your life inside and out. They might ask you, you know, what about your recent project? How's it going? What's challenging? What's been tough for it? What's been interesting about your recent project? You know, what would you do to improve your company? Let's say you just got a promotion, or let's say, for example, you just became the new CEO of your company. What are the first two steps to improve it, and why? What are you most frustrated about? Don't be like, "I'm frustrated at bad management." Don't talk about that. It's like talking about, if you say, in general terms, you want to keep your MBA interview always on a positive light, anything that you talk about. If the interviewer is asking you what you would change or what you're frustrated about, be careful not to be Don't be complaining about things. Don't complain about your supervisor or your teammates or the company should do this and this better. Okay, it's like talking bad about your ex-girlfriend to your new girlfriend. Think about that. Okay, instead of focusing on what you can do to improve the lives of others, because if you're not improving somebody else's life, you're wasting your time on this earth. Then it's better to do that than to be talking bad about an ex-girlfriend. You know, you're there, you know, you're talking to this beautiful girl, you know, who's interested in you, and you're there talking about, "Yeah, but you know, my ex was this, my ex was that." Nobody likes that. Nobody likes that. If you're a guy and you're out with a girl, you know, beautiful girl, but all she can do is talk about her ex-boyfriend and how frustrating he is and what she would do to try to improve him, you know. Would you like that? You wouldn't. Same concept. Okay. Don't talk bad things about. You don't want to bring a negative light into your interview. You always want to keep it positive. Some other follow-up questions, you know, as far as, you know, like why you want an MBA. Some interviewers actually ask, why do you need this MBA? Or I'm sorry, with all of your experience, why would you need this MBA? Or another follow-up question is, would you be able to achieve your future goals without an MBA? Why or why not? When did you realize that you needed an MBA? And what if you don't need an MBA? How would you answer that? Think about it. Think about it before, you know, if you have great experience, why do you need an MBA? Well, you got to think about your gaps. Reiterate your gaps. Show why you need those gaps to be filled. If you could be successful in your future goals without an MBA, in that question, you can answer by simply stating, yes, I could, but let's talk about efficiency and being effective. You know, I believe that I would make more mistakes along the way, and that's not what I'm looking for. You know, I really want to be an influential leader, somebody who can learn from his mistakes as well, because mistakes are going to happen. You're going to make mistakes either way, going to an MBA or not. But what the MBA does prepare you to do is, how do you handle that mistake? How do you turn the tables? How do you get above it? How do you come up from being beaten down? How do you stand up and keep going and make sure that your team is also standing up and going with you? That's how an MBA is going to help you solve that problem. Got it? Yes. Some other follow-up questions as far as career progression is, like, what's going on in your market today, you know, with the current situation in the market? You need to know some current events. All right, definitely know some current events. What will be your greatest challenge when adjusting to life at school? How well do you adapt to challenges? So these are questions that talk about your ability to adapt, ability to, and this is a thing, you know, you kind of go back to talking about how challenges are something that you actually look forward to. I'm actually looking forward to this. I do want a challenge because I believe that overcoming challenges helps show me who I am, and also it improves myself. All right, welcome back. So, another question that might be asked, depending on the school, is, what would you do if you're not accepted? Now, this question throws a lot of people off guard. You know, they're just like, what? They don't even expect it. It's one of those curveball questions. It's kind of like, I don't know, I wasn't expecting this kind of a question. What would I do if I'm not accepted? I never even considered that. You know, I'm going to give you some tips now on really how to answer this. What I said. What's the underlying concept? What's the underlying question of everything? Why are they asking you this? Why would someone ask you, what would you do if you're not accepted? What would you do if, for something that you've been planning on for the entire year, in the past year, and somebody came to you and said, you're not going to be able to do it? What would you do? Let me rephrase that question. What would you do if something didn't go as planned? What would you do if everything you've been planning for doesn't happen? What does that tell you? Basically, the question is, what would you do if you're not accepted is the same thing as, what's your contingency plan? Do you have a plan B? Do you have some? Have you thought this out, really? You know, is this just, you know, I want to apply because I want to apply and that's it. Why haven't you thought about it? You have to think about why. What would you do if you're not accepted? You're not. There's no guarantee here. No one's ever going to say, I mean, if someone ever says, if you hire a consulting office and they say, yeah, we'll get you in there, we're going to get you 100% sure that you're going to get in, you have to be wary, all right? be very careful. There's no guarantee here. You know, we're going to do our best as possible to fit your profile in with the school to make sure that your application is as in, you know, top shape. But, and then also here through this interview course, make sure that your interview is that you crush your interview. But there's just no way of knowing for 100% sure if you're going to get in or not. In that case, have you thought about what you're going to do if you're not accepted? That's a basic question. It's a very simple question. Don't get thrown off guard by it. What that just means is, basically, have you thought this through? Do you have a plan B? You should have a plan B in order to answer this question. I've had someone say this too. I asked them, what would you do if you're not accepted? And they said to me, the guy said to me, well, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be accepted. And I'm sure that you're going to play a good role in, you know, a big part in that. So I don't think I have anything to worry about. I was like, what? Let's say this. Okay, women, if you're on a first date, you know, and the guy's like, yeah, pretty sure we're sleeping together tonight. And I'm not talking about Brad Pitt here, because I'd sleep with Brad Pitt, but... But what I'm talking about is you know, just an average guy, and he's very cocky, yeah, and very arrogant. What does this guy think he is? I accepted a date to get to know them a little bit better, but here he is talking about, yeah, he's definitely getting in. Not how it works. Okay. Don't ever say something like that. Remember, you don't want to come off as arrogant ever in the interview process. You want to come, you know, bring some humility. State that you do have a plan B. Yes, I have a plan B. Actually, I have a plan B. There are two ways to go about it, all right? Number one way to go about it is this. You can say, well, if I'm not accepted this year, I know I need an MBA in order to improve and to progress in my career development. I do need to fill these gaps in. So if I'm not accepted this year, not only will I reapply to this school because I'm certain that this school is the school for me, but I would definitely reevaluate my application, try to find some weaknesses here that I can improve, something where I could have where I can develop a little bit better. If it's a recommender, or if it's if it's my essays, or if it's something curricular, is it my education? Is it my work? My professional experience? I need to reevaluate my scenario, my profile, and then I'll work to improve it so that I'd be suitable for getting accepted into your MBA program. Do you have any suggestions in this scenario? How would I go about getting feedback on my profile from schools? Don't ever ask the interviewer, on a side note here real quick, don't ever ask the interviewer, what's your assessment, or what do you think about my candidacy so far? What are you thinking about the interview so far? Don't ever, ever, ever ask that question. That's just no. No. All right? Don't ask that question. But what you can ask is, how could I go about getting some feedback if after I get my no, if I get dinged by the school, where should I go for some feedback? Okay, you know, could I possibly send you an email in the future to see where I can improve and get your thoughts on this? Would that be all right? If you come out about it, you know, humbly, and if the interviewer has been cool with you throughout the entire time and you ask this question, most likely, yeah, he'll say yes. But you have to be really careful with that type of a question. If the interviewer doesn't even seem like he or she likes you, don't even ask that question. It's not gonna work for you. So basically, but what I would do is, my plan, you know, we're still talking about the first way that you can go. My plan is to reapply again next year. In the meantime, I'm going to strengthen my profile. But also, because I have this and this gap, I'm actually going to then take up a course. I've thought about it already. I would take up a few courses that would actually help me, develop some support in this matter so that I can be ready to go next year again if I get accepted. Definitely going to reapply, though. Or you go in another different direction. You can just say, you know, well, if I'm not accepted this year, unfortunately, that might be my chance. I may have to select other schools that I've applied to, because I know right now is the moment for me. I must apply, you know, I must get into an MBA now. your school is my number one choice. However, if I am not accepted, then there's just no way I can, at this point in my career, there's no way I can wait for another year to apply again and then go away for another 2 years. It's just not gonna happen. I would most likely have to accept a head school and go on with my MBA. It won't be your school, but it's still, I still do need to address these gaps in order to continue on. So I really hope it works out, you know, at this school, because this is my dream school. Boom. All right. So there are two different ways that you can go. There are different other couple of ways, but more personal reasons, you know, like, oh, you know, I'm probably just going to go ahead and start my business and things like that and then figure it out as I go along. But here, those aren't really recommend. I don't recommend those, mainly because here you also want to show that you're very determined, that you don't crumble easily, you know, ahead of challenges, that because you received a no, you're never going to go back and try it again. Okay, that you want to be, you want to be able to show that you're tenacious, you're determined, you're driven, you're focused. If you're telling this guy, if you're telling the interviewer, check this out. If you're telling the interviewer, I know I need an MBA. This is exactly what I need for my future. This is the exact school that I need to improve my profile. I know I have the fit. I know this is the place I need to get into. Well, what if you don't get into it? Well, then, I don't know. Not sure. How convincing was that for you? Then that, you know, how does that make sense? That doesn't even make sense. You really want this MBA, but if you don't make it this time, then I guess I'm just going to give up on my dreams and give up on everything and just throw in the towel. Yeah, MBAs want those type of people, sure. I'm being very sarcastic at this moment, but that's not what they're looking for. That's not the type of student they want. They don't want somebody who's going to give up like that ahead of a challenge. You want to be able to, that doesn't mean that when the interviewer asks you that question, it doesn't necessarily mean they've made a decision already. It doesn't mean like, all right, let's just mess with them a little bit. No, what they're testing to see is, okay, do you have a plan B? Another underlying question is, are you who you say you are? Do you really want this MBA? Are you extremely determined? Are you committed? Are you focused? Are you somebody who's going to take something, see it to the end? Do you crumble under failure? Or do you rise above and break down another obstacle? That's what they're looking for. It's not a question that you need to be afraid of. It's a question that you need to be able to show these things, these qualities. Always take the opportunity in almost any type of question during the MBA interview that can be asked. Always take the opportunity to show and reveal more about yourself, but maintain consistency. Okay, you cannot tell someone that you're a great communicator, but then you're doing so and the person is, you know, having difficulties understanding the things that you're saying. Okay, your talents, your strengths, your weaknesses, they all have to be aligned. They all have to be very parallel. Now, there is a problem, okay? A follow-up question here that some schools, some students ask. I think Kellogg asks too. Kellogg asks this question. What other schools have you applied to? This is it's an unethical question. You should not ask a candidate what other schools they've applied to. And you're not supposed to. What other schools have you applied to? You know? Businesses can't do that. They can't ask you what other companies have you applied to for a job. And if they do, it just shows poor taste. What, are you worried? You know, I'm here right now. Let's talk about you and let's not talk about the other schools. However, you can't say that. Okay. And again, however, there are still schools who ask that. And okay, so many ways to go about this. You might think, okay, I'm just going to blow them off and say, no, I'm sorry, I'm not going to answer you that question. You got to be careful there because you might rub the person in the wrong way. But then again, that person might like your stern, you know, your firm belief in saying, look, that's information that's not necessarily, I mean, that takes away the focus from our interview, right? And I understand some interviewers ask this question to get better insights into who you are and what kind of a style you have. Sure, that's fine, but it's still unethical. They're not supposed to ask you. Some do. And if they do, let's talk about how do we answer this question. So how do you answer, what other schools have you applied to? You can kind of go, all right, I'll give you a half truth that you can say. Mainly because I dislike this question, mainly because this question shouldn't even come up, but in the event it does, then here's what you do. You name two other schools that are at the same. This is the only place where ranking is valid, all right? Remember in a previous video, I said I hate rankings. This is the only time you're gonna be able to use a ranking, okay? In the correct form, in the correct context. Let's say you're applying to a school, they ask you this asinine question. They ask you this question, oh, what other schools are you applying to? And you decide to, and you're gonna go, all right, I'm gonna answer that question. Answer with two or three schools that are in similar ranking with the school or lower, okay? I'm not gonna name schools because I don't wanna say a school is worse than the other one. Remember what I said about rankings? It's all bullshit. You know, it's all about the experience you're going to get in any MBA is going to be amazing. Anyway, if you have this, in fact, all right, anticipate this question in all the schools. Not every school will ask you. Most likely, no school will ask you except for maybe one or two. You know, and one of those is Kellogg, I'm pretty sure, because last year I've had a couple of students tell me they asked this question. They're not supposed to. It sucks that they do, okay? How do we answer this? So you take two or three schools that are the same ranking or lower, and you say those schools that you've actually applied to. One, the guy can't call up the schools and ask about applicants. That's illegal, all right? That's illegal. The guy's not gonna go, all right, let me data check on this, because I'm not sure he's telling me the truth. He calls up Harvard or something. Hey, yo, I just had an interview with a possible candidate that stated that he applied to your school as well as mine. Just kind of wanted to get your info on this, get your two cents on this. What do you think about this candidate? That's illegal. Maybe I won't say no one, but that's not gonna happen. So I'm not necessarily saying you lie about it, but only select the schools that are the same level of ranking and lower. Because if you choose a school that's a higher in ranking, then that's obvious. It's obvious that school is your first choice. Another thing you can check is to make sure that your two, three schools, the cultures kind of match. Okay, so if you chose, for example, Kellogg, then the schools you need to also say is like Duke, Fuqua, Michigan, Ross, even Tuck. Okay, Tuck. You can say NYU Stern. All right, those are the kind of the schools at the same level there. They also share similar cultures. That makes sense. But if you're applying to, for example, just an example, guys. If you're actually applying to this school, you know, I'm not saying anything bad about the school. I actually love a lot of the programs that are not in the top 20. But let's say you're going, you know, I'm applying to Babson, which is an entrepreneurial school, which is a fantastic school for entrepreneurism. I'm going to Babson. Oh, what other schools have you applied to? Oh, just Babson and Harvard. And the guy looks at your GMAT score and is like 750, 760. And he looks at your TOEFL score, 117. He looks at your progression. He looks at everything. And he goes, whoa. Babson's not the first school that you're going to go to. If you get accepted into both schools, it's not Babson that you're going to select. Most likely. You know, have there been situations where someone turned down Harvard to go to Babson? Not sure. Maybe I'll die never finding out, but it's highly unlikely that would happen. So he knows that. Why would he give you an accept? You know, why would he highly recommend somebody who is most likely not going to that school in this scenario? So be careful what you say there. You want to be able to answer it in a manner where you're showing, look, I'm actually going for these entrepreneurial schools mainly because of the location, the culture, you know, and they're all very similar. And those are the schools that fit me. Two, three schools, boom. Those are the schools that I've applied to us also. However, your school is my top choice for list out one or two reasons, you're good to go, okay? Be careful, don't fall into the trap. You might get a guy who's gonna try to, you know, pick you apart. You might get an interview who's like, yeah, but I don't know about that school, man. You know, I don't even know why you're applying to it. And you're going to feel the need to defend yourself or to justify your reasons why you applied to that school. You're like, oh, well, yeah, you know, that's still probably right. That's just a hedge school. I'm not sure. I didn't do much research on it. When I began my MBA research, actually, I fell in love with your school. And I knew immediately that this is the place I wanted to be. So I really didn't pay much attention to the other schools. I really did not put in too much effort into applying to those schools. However, I got called in for an interview at both of them. We'll see how it goes. I may have to go to a hedge school. Okay? Kind of makes sense. Yes? Yes? All right, so in those scenarios, so we covered about, you know, three different questions that can actually kind of say the same thing. What would you do if you're not accepted? You know, what are your contingency plans? What's your plan B? And what are the schools that you have, what are the other schools that you have applied to? All right. If you do have any questions, send me a message, send me an email. I'll try my best to answer them either via email or via video. And then we'll just keep this thing going. Keep this course going. I want it to improve every year, every month, every week, every day. Okay. I'll see you in the next video.